My New Year's resolution? Keep loving Shan.
Should I have a New Year's resolution one too?
Do it. That's good. I mean, it's original. It's very original of us.
My New Year's resolution is to give up the things that no longer serve me. So why am I still watching Roni?
Sad.
Sad but real.
Sad but real. You guys, it's a new year, new episode. It's Andy's Girls. I forgot just how I usually open. I literally just forgot the name of it. Do you see the fear in my face? I literally was like,
You were like Camille forgetting Erica's name.
That is literally ... cunt. Like, that is literally me. It's Andy's Girls. It's episodes. And I'm so excited to have a return guest back on the podcast. Housewives writer and culture commentator, Lewis Peitzman. Lewis, how are we?
We're surviving.
We are surviving. We are maybe thriving. I have to tell you, I have a new identity now. My life has been changed for good. I have a Nespresso machine, and I've had it for between 48 and 60 hours. Mm-hmm. And it is all I care about and how I identify.
Yeah, no, I understand that. When I got a coffee, just a normal coffee maker, for the first time in years, it completely changed my life and my outlook on everything.
Yeah, and I'm going to be really supportive and saying that that is the same experience.
It's not. I'm just saying, like, if I understand a fraction of what you're experiencing.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing me. I've been to Bloomingdale's Nespresso section twice in the last 2 days, as well as the Nespresso boutique here on the Upper West Side, to talk with the lovely Nespresso team and get a sense of their pod personality. Because I just walk in, I'm like, who are you? How do you see yourself? I keep calling it the wrong name, but it's like Virtuo or something is one of them. I don't know how to pronounce anything. And then like the classic one, the smaller pod. I'm a smaller pod person. And for anybody listening, I got the Satie's Platinum machine. And I'm
not an ad, not sponsored.
Literally not sponsored. Nespresso, if you're listening, which you're definitely not, I hated you. Because I didn't understand you. I came from a place of hate. Much like Bethany Frankel most days. Most hours and seconds
of
every
Nespresso day. So Nespresso was like your drones.
Right. Except I don't. Yeah, because I didn't care. Because I'm not. I don't care about the drone orb thing. It's not my lifestyle.
I thought Bethany
it's
cared so much that she was like,
she's calling them Dior bags.
I don't know. Bethany, I only get snippets of her Instagram presence, and that's usually enough for me.
She said she was being silenced on social media by like Big Drone or whatever. So
yeah, for sure.
She's calling it Dior bags. And I watched one of those videos, but then I forgot. And then I was like, why is she talking about Dior bags? But again, this is the woman who screamed about Chanel. So I was like, that actually does track for me, but it's her secret way. And no disrespect to anybody who cares about the drones.
Like Dior bags, like there's orb in there.
That's not why she did
it. Is that not why?
No, I think she just... I don't think she's that.
Because that would be really clever.
I don't think she.
Okay, so you think I'm giving her too much credit.
I think you absolutely are. But anyway, I just want to shout out the Nespresso community. Please comment on the social media graphic about this episode with your favorite flavors. I was in a 30-minute conversation with a friend earlier about her favorites, which I screenshot so I can. It's incredible. I didn't understand it. I hated it. I thought it was a cult. And then I literally walked into Bloomies because you can try stuff for free there. And I said, I'm a cult member now.
Well, this ad is working because now I'm like, do I need one?
I didn't even believe that I needed one when I got it. And I just kept asking them over and over again, can I return this if I try it and I hate it? And they were like, yes. And I was like, okay, tell me that 4 more times.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine a life without it. I think this is how people feel about their kids.
I'm sure it's the same thing. Yeah.
I think mine is greater and more important and long lasting.
Yeah.
I don't think a child comes with a warranty. Mine does for a year.
Well, that's what really is important.
This is what I'm saying. So I've like started the year and I'm like, okay, like I've been so fucking depressed. And honestly, like the last 3 days, and maybe I'm not going to say it's only the Nespresso, but like Nespresso is at least 60%. And also I don't do great with caffeine.
Right.
So we're just going to see how this plays out. But I do have decaffeinated pods. I'm just saying, literally not an ad. I changed my life. I'm having a decaf now, but now I'm like, maybe this should just be a listening silence podcast because I don't want this to get cold. Like I just, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I have the Arancino, which is the frother.
I can't believe I turned this down. I really made a mistake.
Well, because my thing usually is when a guest comes, I'm like, can I put in a Starbucks order for us? And because there's a Starbucks right nearby the Clawfuss, guest usually picks up.
Right.
I order whatever. And I'm like, no, that's revoked now. Now the Clawfuss, I'm a barista here.
Yeah.
Like, it's an honor to receive. I don't even know what this is. If it's like a... I think it's technically
it's
a latte.
It's espresso, but what's in it? Like,
so I, well, that's the other problem. Like, because I only have almond milk and oat milk. So I'm like, is that okay for people that I don't have like whole milk or 1% when they come in? Is that like derogatory to the dairy
folks?
I don't
know. I'm an oat milk person. So for me,
oat or whole?
Oat. Yeah. I mean, I like to have like real milk on hand.
Yeah.
Just in case for a recipe.
I'm not going to do that.
But I don't think you need it. And then it goes bad. Oat milk lasts forever. I love that.
Does it?
It lasts a really... The expiration date on oat milk is always, like, quite a ways away.
Well, I just really want to send some love to my cinnamon spice decaf tea that's in the cupboard that will never be used now. Now, oh. I guess I'm a coffee person, but I'm not a coffee person. I'm a tea. I like to spill it, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't even know... I don't know what this new where this new journey will take me. I'm going to be hopped up. Can you tell?
Is
like
the,
my heart
I
is
love
racing.
It. Is the tea decaf?
Yeah, I have regular and decaf, but I always and when I go to Starbucks and get like a espresso, it's always decaf.
Right.
But this right now, what I'm drinking is decaf. But the one I had before, pumpkin spice, original classic pod, was regular, and I could feel it like Spider-Man. The bite went straight into the veins.
I have
and
such
then
regrets
I
right now
animal.
That I said no to the espresso.
Yeah, you should feel bad.
I have to live with that decision.
I know. Much like so much happening in the Bravo universe. One of just a small decision can change a person's life forever.
It's such a weird time because there are like a million shows airing, but there's been like this long hiatus. So I'm like, are there any shows on? Will there ever be shows again? Like, I know logically there will be, but it feels like we've been off the air for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I don't know what is happening. And I did rewatch Salt Lake City and watched piece more the cunt portion of the
sure.
most recent Beverly
yeah,
Hills.
Yeah.
I mean, it's classic. It's a classic moment in time. But I was like, when did this... It feels like it happened, like, months ago.
We're only getting, I believe, one more episode of Salt Lake City and then the reunion.
Nuh-uh.
I'm pretty sure.
Nuh-uh.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
How dare they?
Well, I mean...
No.
Okay, you're right. No, how dare they?
This has been one of the best seasons... I don't even know. After last season, how could it still be so good?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think personally, I like this season more than last season. But I think the finale of last season was obviously like so iconic that it's going to be hard to ever top that.
Today is the 1 year anniversary of that airing. We did it, Joe. Apologies.
Too soon.
but we did it.
We did. I had faith that we would be okay. Because
okay.
I also, like, as someone who liked Monica a lot at the start, but, like, grew tired of her throughout the season, I didn't feel like I wanted more of her, aside from the reality of Von Teese. I just, like, I didn't like her personal storylines. I didn't like how a lot of those scenes felt. Both, like... It was like that weird thing of like, I believe they have a truly toxic relationship, her and her mom, but also the scenes felt fake. So it was like both where I was like, this is not something I want to watch.
Her mom was so cringe.
Horrible. And yeah, I mean, I'm the way things are now, like my biggest concern about this season going into it was what will Mary bring? Because she's such a like mixed bag. Mm-hmm. And I have generally felt like she's not a value add. And then this season, she is so important.
So important and also so meaningful.
Yeah.
In ways that I'm like, did I just not give her credit? Or was I always just clenching when she came into a scene? Because obviously the thing with Mary is that you don't know what she's going to say. But so often I was like, oh, that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing that like... just makes me feel weird. And this season, I'm like, she's the heart of the show now, and she's handling everything incredibly.
Yeah, I think she got a personality transplant. Like, I don't know how she seems like a different person because she just seems more checked in every way.
Mm.
And more, like, more patient with the other women and more like genuinely interested in what they have to say and their problems. Like, she was never like that before.
Counter that, even though this is just like sort of coming to mind, so not to take away from that, but to acknowledge she's obviously a complicated person, it seems like this season has totally scrubbed away any semblance or wink that there was, you know, an alleged argument between her and members of the cast that involved her calling, I think it was one of Lisa's sons,
the younger son,
an intellectual slur. So,
and I, for the record,
her growth, I mean, there's always an asterisk with Mary. There always is.
Always, all, you know, all alleged. I personally believe that that happened.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The reporting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because I think that, like, that's such an unforgivable thing to say on so many levels that it's like, had they included it, it would have just been too messy. It would have been something that, like, how do we come back from that? And there's, like, I think there's certain things where it's like, I don't want them to edit out. I want them to let the show be messy. I want them to, like, allow for this. But it's like, you do have, like, the arc of a season and the arc of, you know, the cast members on an individual season. And that would have derailed things.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is, I think it was against Lisa and Lisa's son. I forget which son, but I think it was against one of Lisa's sons. And if I was Lisa watching these episodes and feeling, regardless of how you feel about this opinion, maybe she felt like she was under attack or whatever. I mean, you could look at it a couple different ways. Maybe she said to production, don't you dare include any of this because it's so infuriating and upsetting that someone would try to not only use that term, but also try to humiliate or embarrass my child, like to speak of another person's child in such a derogatory, insulting manner, like damaging, absolutely vile. So there is that way to look at it. But also maybe production was like, this is going to, as you said, like it's going to completely change the audience's, it could potentially completely change the audience's feelings toward Mary and feelings of like support and seeing all of that growth and everything. But also if I was Lisa, I might be thinking, man, I could really use a moment where people can understand what has happened to me this season that has been completely scrubbed from the universe.
Yeah. And I think also the tough part of it is like, this is a show, like the relationships, there are real friendships, but also like a lot of it is about, you have to keep filming with each other, you have to make peace, all of this stuff. But like in real life, if someone said that about your kid, do you ever want to talk to them again? Would you be okay with your friends talking to them? Like how is Lisa supposed to be okay with the other women being close with Mary still after she said that?
That's a great point.
And it's the kind of thing that like will be a hole in the reunion, whether it's brought up and it gets edited out or, you know, no one talks about it, whatever it is. It's like, it's really tough. And I really do wish we had the full context. There's never any reason to say that word. I just mean like, I want to know what Lisa was saying, not to excuse it, but just because I want to know, apparently she was talking about Mary's son.
Oh, was she?
That was like she had said something about Robert Jr. And then I want to know how Mary said it. Like, did she intend that word with its meaning? Was it a word that she used that she shouldn't use regardless? Like, you know, I want to know how she said, what kind of, she said,
did it come from a place of ignorance? Did it come from a place of trying to weaponize it against her child against Lisa's child as a form of revenge? If Lisa said something about her child,
is it Henry's younger one?
Yeah.
Was it even about him? Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's no excuse for it, but I want to know the context because it would change a lot of things in terms of just like, ultimately, is it something that we could ever move past? Where it's like, there are certain versions of that where it's like, I think that's unforgivable. I can see Lisa wanting it edited out because I felt like she's already, and I'm not mom shaming her, but she will listen to this, so it's whatever. I've already felt a little bit uneasy about what she's been sharing about him on the show, where it's like, if my mom were on reality TV and talking about how I have like no friends and no one comes to my birthday and all this stuff, like that's not going to make your life at school easier. That's like, I understand why she's sharing that. And it's like, I think it's out of genuine care, but like most kids' parents aren't on a platform like Housewives, where like any of your classmates can watch your mom talking about how like sad and lonely and friendless you are.
Well, I mean, kids are going to be assholes regardless. So of course, if there's a single extra morsel or morsel they can get on a public scale to try to humiliate or bully right. another child, they're going to use it. So it's unfortunate, but absolutely, as you said, like that is a possibility. The kind of not counter to it, or but maybe layer around this is, this is part of her job. So this is yeah. the thing that people talk about when, you know, there are these conversations around like, should children be a part of Housewives? What does it mean when you're filming a show seemingly about quote unquote families, when these kids, I would argue even if they're like 18, but certainly minors, don't understand what consent is, can't really give consent because they don't necessarily understand what it is that their mom or parents are signing up for. And it's a little bit of the sacrifice that you make, but the child isn't necessarily making that decision. So how do you kind of figure it out? It's, you hope that production is going to be sensitive to certain things. And my guess is that they have been across franchises if there has been stuff that's come up. But of course, there's also other things that happen that are going to paint your child in a certain light forever. And I don't know why I'm thinking about her specifically, but like Ashley, Jacqueline's daughter, totally different situation. And she was, I don't remember how old she was in that scene where like she walked out or her dad walked out or Jacqueline walked out. Remember, it was like a conversation at a restaurant with Ashley, Jacqueline, her yeah. dad and her stepmom. Yeah. And it was really bad. And people felt like Ashley was obnoxious and whatever else for years and years and years because of a scene in which, yeah, she was acting poorly. And yet that was the defining moment of her. It's
I think that... I think the defining moment of Ashley was Love and Light, Stay in the Positive, Bitch.
Oh,
but
my God.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. I hear you.
Yes, Love and Light to Ashley. I'm sure she's... I actually think she is doing
We're
well.
Instagram friends.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I interviewed her for something like years ago.
Okay, got
that
it.
That never got published. So we've been like, you know, acquaintances since then.
I think it's tough because often housewives are looked at, we identify them through like the worst maybe moment in which they're filming, and sometimes you're like celebrated for that moment. Yeah. But in another way, when it comes to these kids, like they haven't had the life experiences in which to understand that you're more complicated and nuanced than how, you know, Bravo may be painting yeah. with that brush. Like, I don't know how you figure out how to work through all of this on such a large scale, but also in the world of like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, I'm not equalizing the two, but like kids that grow up now have so many different, unfortunately, like tools at their disposal, forms of weaponry to use against each other, that maybe it's just Bravo is just another, maybe a larger form of that, but it still exists regardless.
I feel like it's probably a net neutral at this point in terms of like, there are some people who are going to think you're really cool for being on TV and also just want to be associated with that fame and want to get closer to you because what if they get camera time or whatever it is? Like, there are going to be those people, and then they're going to be the ones who are weaponizing it, or maybe it just shakes out, even. But I would love to read the first memoir from a Real Housewife kid.
Oh, my God. Like, well, I feel like I've written books. Heather Dubrow's daughter Max wrote a, remember she wrote a book?
Yeah,
but that wasn't about the experience. I want
a tell all of like
Bryn Hoppe,
or oh my God, surviving. Well, that's gonna be
a book of survival.
I would love to hear from like one of the Keos, or like someone like old school Orange County, when that show, like Mike Wolfsmith, like people who were like there from the beginning when it was like a completely different show, who then like, you know, have over the years like grown up on the show, had camera time. Like, I want to know what their life has been like, basically.
Well, that was the best part. I don't know why Bravo doesn't do this more, except I assume it's the budget and cost involved. But when Orange County, when Bravo,
episode?
Yeah, it was the 100th episode, they did this kind of look back retrospective, which I thought was interesting for 2 points. One, because I want to say Tamra or Gretchen used it as an opportunity to like drag people and start conflict, which I just thought, like, you know, tipping of the cap to you for continuing to work during this moment. But also the Keo kids were interviewed. I remember her oldest son.
It was all three of them together, I feel like, where they were all.
Could have been. 100% could have been. But I remember the oldest son, especially whose name I absolutely forgot, Shane, was dragged to hell, understandably, because of how terribly he was treating his mom during the filming, that people were like really upset. And then just to see the way that he has grown and matured and how the kids talk about their experiences, I thought was fantastic. And I wish we did that more for franchises. I don't remember if another franchise got that kind of treatment, but then also Lou got that like Before I Was a Housewife special. And I don't understand why those don't exist.
I think most of their lives are not as interesting as Lou's was, but I would love more of that. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a weird time to be a housewife kid. I know you're not caught up on Potomac, so I won't dwell on it, but there's been some like real bad stuff with Mia going after Giselle's kids where I'm just like, it feels like a line has been crossed and now keeps getting crossed where you're just kind of like, what are we doing here?
Okay, so I try to stay away from anything content related when I'm like far behind. I've caught up on New York because I did not want to carry the weight and burden of watching four episodes of New York after the new year. That was my like one thing. Yeah. So I'm caught up on New York, but I am literally 9 episodes behind on Potomac. So I'm giving myself, we're recording this Thursday, I'm giving myself hopefully by the end of the weekend.
Okay.
Is I'm going to just catch up, which honestly, that's an afternoon for me. 9 episodes is like, what am I going to do for lunch? You know what I'm saying?
No spoilers then, but I'm very curious for your thoughts because to me it's so repulsive what's happening. And I'm just like, I just think it's I don't know. I don't like that we've crossed that line. I don't like that. I think there's been some blurring because the kids, once they reach 18, often become sort of more cast, like Gia has become more of a cast member, or Brooks. And then they have the spinoff now of the, which is coming soon, I believe.
Made in Manhattan.
Yeah. So that's going to happen. So I feel like there's some blurring of like, who is allowed to be, who is fair game, or who is like part of the cast. But yeah, Potomac, that Mia versus Giselle stuff has been tough to watch.
So I've been staying away from any possible whatever, but I did see something, because I think it was on page 6, but that might be completely wrong, of there being some sort of something where Mia and Giselle both asked production to edit out Mia calling Giselle's daughters derogatory terms. So I read that and thought, I mean, first off, obviously it's completely unacceptable and abhorrent, but I also thought, oh, okay, so maybe it will be like, because I'm so far behind, maybe it'll be a thing where it's not even discussed at all. So to hear you say that this is something that does happen, and maybe what was on whatever outlet I was reading was like a additional thing that happened that was, because it was like Mia was like calling them whores.
Yeah, I think it was part of that conversation of that Mia was still revealing something Giselle had told her privately the year prior.
About her kids,
yeah.
Is she out of her fucking mind?
Yes.
So, okay. So, see, I'm already like upset and I haven't seen in 17 years. Here's the thing with Mia is that like last season, I've seen a couple episodes this season, but like last I watched last season, like we were kind of like Mia's like, or some of us were like, Mia's doing the work because she was sharing so much.
Yeah.
So now she got high on her own supply. Is that what happened? Like
I think she's an unstable person.
Well, we always kind of knew that.
Yeah.
Didn't we always
kind of
know
that? Well, that was why I was so done with her before last season, because I was like, you can't trust anything she says. Like, I don't believe what she's talking about. She might be like sharing things, but it seems like it's at least part bullshit. And I just don't trust her. And then last season she really was like the only person, and Karen to an extent, who was like putting in the work of like trying to be a friend group on the show and like bridge some gaps. And then in the last episode, like, really shared a lot about Gordon. This season's been horrible for her. I don't really want to see her on TV again. I'm ready to move on from Mia.
Does she understand I don't even know what she's doing on like social and stuff. Does she understand this is not a good look for her, or she's so out to lunch that it doesn't even matter?
I'm not sure, and I don't know. I've heard other people say that they're done with her too, but I'm not sure like how widespread that opinion is. Mm. I think everyone's so relieved that this season's better than last season by like so much that I think everyone's just happy to be back to a place of enjoying the show. I don't know how she feels about that, but she's a mess.
Last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America. Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers. But it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns hopes to grow your money into more of your money. Especially helpful for me because living in New York City, I swear you walk outside and somehow you've spent $100 before walking a single solitary block. In New York City, of course, we always say everything is at your fingertips. But with all of these delivery services, especially if I'm recording in the middle of a peacock binge, shout out the traders, those delivery fees really, truly add up. Acorns can help you fight back. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. I spend a lot of time on the pod talking about emotional intelligence. Financial intelligence is equally important. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. You know what's the light of my life? The Clawfis, obviously, getting a chance to come into this colorful, unique space and breathe, especially after a wild holiday season. You know what else is the light of my life? The lighting fixture that my friend Tori and I picked out from Wayfair, which is such a conversation starter. It's modern, it's beautiful, the light bulbs, of course, are key. Amidst so much chaos in New York City and, of course, the up and downs of housewives, I wanted my apartment to feel calm, soothing, fun, and feminine. And thanks to Wayfair, all of my dreams, minus Chris Manzo, have come true. Wayfair is super easy to use, especially for me, someone who has an idea of what I want, but oftentimes can get a little stuck in the details. Delivery was free, hassle-free, and I love that each room in my apartment feels different. From the lighting fixtures in the Clawfis versus the living room to the way I use color in the Clawfis versus the living room. Wayfair has it all. And P.S. Hanukkah Harry, thanks to Wayfair, brought me an espresso machine. Because after this season of New York, a little extra caffeine is needed. Wayfair has everything your home needs this spring, and Wayfair has what you're looking for at any budget. There's something for every style and every home. Wayfair makes it easy to tackle your New Year's home goals with endless inspiration for every space. And it's free and easy delivery, even on the big stuff. Give your home the refresh it needs with Wayfair. Head to wayfair.com right now. That's WAYFAIR.com. Wayfair, every style, every home. Wow, and no kid should ever have to deal with that, but Giselle's kids are so fucking wonderful.
No, and Giselle's handled
unacceptable.
It. Giselle's handled it very well, I think.
I love a good Giselle. I want to think well of Giselle again. Like, yeah. The episodes that I've seen of this season so far, I was like, okay, good. Giselle is back.
Yeah, she's definitely back. I think we're in a good place, but we should get rid of Mia. We might have to do some other cast adjustment. When you catch up, we can talk about Potomac. But I don't miss Robin, I will say.
Well, I mean...
Does anyone?
No, not Juan, not us.
Oh, rough stuff.
I mean, rough, tough stuff. It's, yeah. It was... She was, like, not... She was always a friend of. She was always a friend of. Mm. And some friends of are great, and, like, you feel like they're a core member of the cast, but they're quite literally not. Like, that is Robin Dixon. Like, we appreciate and support her without actually going to her, like, med spa or whatever, massage place. What was it? Or facials? Facials!
Was it facials?
Whatever. So.
I don't know.
I would want to make sure that they have insurance first. But then I would go. Because I don't know. I don't know how she's, like, cutting corners. But God bless her.
I don't think she's involved with it at all. I think that, like, that's...
Oh, I hope she is.
I feel like that's, like, the skim of it. If these businesses that are just, like, you kind of just...
Franchise?
Yeah, you put money into it, but you don't really have anything to do with it.
Listen, I want Robin to do well because, honestly, it was really affirming and... honestly inspiring to see, like, from where where the show began in their journey, and they were defrauded by a friend who then died by suicide, and it's like dealing with the trauma of that whole situation, and putting aside the marital stuff, which is, it's a big putting aside, but like the way that she worked toward the work in, like, house flipping and partnering with her family and then moving into that house, I was like, this is great. Like, I want to see Robin be grounded and secure. So, like, a little bit of, like, you know, sass from me now and again, I really genuinely do want her to do well. And that has to be a real kick in the balls to not have that paycheck
anymore.
Maybe
she'll win Traders.
Right.
I don't think she will though.
She could.
I think she won't. I think she is in a tough place for Traders because you either have to be really, really smart or really dumb to make it far. Because if you're really dumb, they keep you around longer because you're not a threat, and no one thinks you're a traitor, and the traitors don't want to get rid of you because you're not close to figuring out who they are. Mm-hmm. And if you're really smart, you can maneuver the game better and make it farther. And I feel like Robin is, like, a smart person, but she's not, like, a, you know, a games player where I think she's going to make it to the end.
Do they get paid more the longer they're on? Is it, like, Dancing with
really
the Stars?
That's a really good question.
I think they probably
like
just
they
get
must
a
because
flat
they,
fee. Oh, no.
No, I feel like they probably get a per-episode fee.
Okay.
I would think. Although
but I think you get a flat rate just for showing.
For
they
sure.
must get, like, 100K or something
yeah,
just for showing.
Yeah, for sure. Because you have to go to Scotland and...
Oh, God forbid. I would love. Send me there just to wander the grounds. It's so fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I'm actually bummed because UK just started today or yesterday. UK Traders.
Okay.
And they're doing two seasons this year because they're doing, maybe it's not this year, but they're doing normies and they're doing a celebrity season separately because they've always had just normies. So they're doing a normal person civilian one and they're doing a celebrity one, and I really love UK Traders, but it's not streaming on Peacock yet.
Oh,
usually it's, like, a little bit delayed, but
well, I think the thing that we have all learned that we need to keep in mind is do not mix normals
because
then they're gonna guilt trip the fuck out of it. Was Suri, right, who won the first season?
Yeah,
and it was so unpleasant because I was like, none of you motherfuckers get that, like, this is the game she played at Survivor. Fans want to see her win, and you are stripping that from her by being like, you're not a great person, I don't trust you anymore, I'm really hurt. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
like, you're not built for this.
Yeah,
don't make celebs, God forbid, a protected class. Do not make
also,
them have to suffer.
She is not
in that way.
She's not, like, a rich person housewife celeb. She's someone who's, like, played a lot of these games, but like she could use the money. Like she was like, you know, she
said that. I think she said that she was going to use it to like help her family. Yeah, because like celebrity contestants, I mean, you can make a lot with Cameo,
right?
If you make it into a career, but a lot of these people, they're it's like you're rich in name recognition.
Not that it matters. I mean, the game is the game, and you play to win. But like,
she deserved it.
Yeah, she deserved it. But yeah, that was so annoying.
I hated it. I was like, you're ruining this.
I couldn't watch the reunion because I was like, I don't want to hear more people beat her up for winning.
100%. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, Alan Cumming, you know, just give him the Emmy now. I know that they released the first
seven minutes.
I haven't watched it yet, but
I'm going to wait and just watch as it airs.
So that's what I normally do 90% of the time. But I actually was thinking to myself today, I was like, I actually want to watch those 7 minutes and just kind of get a little hyped, because I forget when the season starts, but it's soon.
Then I believe it's the ninth.
Yeah. It's going to be.
But it's three at once.
Every time?
No,
or
no,
just
no,
the first
just the
week?
First one.
Okay, I
think
that's
UK
smart.
Does three every week, which is so overwhelming.
No, that's too much. That's too much for me.
I really love Traitors, even though last season I think had some ups and downs. Like, it's something that I feel like we watch as a family. Like, I like to have a show that is like a communal experience and that people are talking about every week. So I'm excited about that.
I feel a little weird about the cast this season, but I just need to trust. It just felt a little weird to me. My instinct was like, I don't know that this is exactly right, but I absolutely have been wrong before many, many times. So my hope is that I'm just like wrong to have that maybe I'm just like being paranoid.
I don't feel like enthused about the cast, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't feel enthused about it.
I mean, there are people that I'm excited to see, but I don't feel as excited as I was in past seasons. I feel excited because it's a show that I enjoy watching.
Yeah.
And like, but I think the tough thing about US celeb Traitors is that it can become more about the reality personalities than the gameplay. Mm-hmm. And I actually do care about the gameplay. Mm. And I kind of like when it's a mix. Like, I like when it's someone who, yes, maybe they have like brought in conflict with other people based on their shows or whatever, but they do want to win and they do play competitively. So I hope we get that. But I do think that people who have like baggage from reality TV like Sandoval will be gone right away.
As well he should.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to watch Sandoval.
God, to look at his fall from grace, and he has just like ruined himself now.
Yeah.
Because who's gonna, aside from like these random shows, which yeah, that's like a decent check, whatever.
Not, but not
restaurants
he's
closing,
paying.
He's heavy in debt. He lost his, I'm sure his mom is never going to get repaid. Not that that seems to be anywhere close to a priority for him, but yeah, it is for me on his retired mother's behalf. Like, where's that $250,000, star? Have you sold your like Hot Topic plus $1,000 apparel to pay some of that back? Like, where's the Sandoval Poshmark closet? Like, because I don't see, not that I would necessarily, but can we get an update on whether or not any of that's been paid? He shat money away on that stupid fucking tour.
I think he will have not a career, but for the next few years can do these sort of like lower tier villainy reality competitions. Like he's done now. No, they don't have to be villainy, but I think he has that villain role that he can bring to these shows. Like, I think he will do more shows like that.
I also wonder what's going to happen with the rest of the cast. Like, I was actually thinking about Ariana the other day. Like, she's obviously killing the game. I assume she'll be back with Love Island USA, an exceptional last season. You know, what the future looks like for her, I assume, is pretty bright. Although for all of them, it was such a big fucking check that
I think
it's still a cost that you have to figure out.
If
it's still
some,
a loss,
if some of them, I'm worried for them, and I hope some of them are not worried for themselves, but at least like aware of the fact that. Like, I worry about Sheena a lot because when she revealed that she had to have Tom loan her money, like, she's obviously, not obviously, but that gives me the impression she's not good with money. And I think they all have these podcasts that they're making money from, like, a lot. I'm sure that Sheena, Lala, Katie are making a ton of money from their podcasts, but that doesn't last forever.
No, it doesn't. And with Lala, I just have to kind of wonder, like, I don't think she does because she's so arrogant, but do you understand that you made a critical strategic error here in dragging Katie and Ariana to absolute hell and saying that, God forbid, if your child doesn't sign up for gymnastics because you're cutting back, it's somehow their fault. Like, it was such a weird, strange, obnoxious track to take, that like, I'm not responsible for providing for my future. This person who in this one scene does not want to talk to her ex, who she feels like was emotionally manipulative and XYZ, that she didn't want to play a part of his narcissism parade. Lala should understand that with Randall more than anyone else. And she still continues to double down and be like, I have no regrets. She should have a couple regrets if she wants to
figure shit out. Like, they were all fired for like mostly for monetary reasons. Like, I think that they all just wanted too much money.
Or were getting paid too much money and couldn't.
Yeah. Because they paid them so much money to come back. Ariana and Tom both got, you know, paid a lot of money. And I think they just couldn't do that again. But the other part of it is that as a group, they were not friends anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think if Lala had played things differently and hadn't been so adversarial to them, there would have been more of an argument to bring it back. And it was like, it wasn't like that conflict drove the plot of the season. So it wasn't, you can't even argue that she was doing it to make the show more interesting. Like, she really played it wrong, and it contributed to the show getting canceled. Just in terms of like fracturing the group beyond repair, and not even at the reunion coming in hard at the reunion, instead of being willing to kind of mend fences and have a path forward, so that if the show kept going, there was any sort of believability to her hanging out with Ariana and Katie again.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Lala and Sheena are going to have some sort of part of the Valley's upcoming season. And the overwhelming response, I think, from the audience, you know, online has been like, no.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's small.
Well, that's the thing, is I think that they are both banking on that. Mm. And I think Sheena, to me, has more of a claim to it, and that like she and Janet are so close and like have been forever. But at the same time, I think that they are maybe overestimating their own star power, their own draw, given that like what we liked about the Valley was like all the new people and Jax, Brittany, and Kristen. Like, I don't think that most of us are watching that being like, I wish there were more crossover with Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, I want this specific cast, and God only knows what's going to happen with Jax this season. God only knows.
Yeah,
but they're not going to be.
They
terrible.
Can't afford to bring on like Lala and Sheena in any sort of full-time capacity. They shouldn't, but also like they're not going to do that. It would not make sense to them to pay those two. I mean, I'm sure Sheena would take a low paycheck for this, but like, I don't think that show can budget for that. Basically, I think they would like upgrade like the friends of before they would bring on Vanderpump Rules people.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the different universe crossover and what would make sense, because I've had this conversation actually on Patreon, but you know, there has been this whole thing certainly since maybe in the last couple of years, but certainly since Lindsay announced she was pregnant and then had a baby, of like promoting her into the Housewives universe.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like back and forth about it, whatever, blah blah blah. But now that there's, and again, very niche, very small, but kind of conversation about, in a dream situation, if we were doing that, if we were looking toward like, how do we not hurt Summer House in any way by removing people, but also maybe like some of these people can graduate into a different kind of show. What if it was Lindsay and Paige?
Yeah.
Which I think is an excellent possible idea. And I usually come, when it comes to like this kind of casting stuff, I usually do come from a place of no, to have both of them come, because they are frenemies. It's not going to be like an alliance and we're not getting anything out of them, because they do kind of hate each other, but also have a mutual begrudging, mutual respect of each other. How
call it a begrudging respect?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, I think that could be really fascinating, and also to get more a fuller look at their lives could be really interesting. It doesn't need to happen, and I really love both of them on Summer House, but I just think for Lindsay, now she has a family. It's going to be a different kind of thing for them to figure out, like next season especially, how is this going to work with filming her having a kid, bringing the kid, maybe staying with someone else, or actually could stay with
Summer House is
her
weird.
Boyfriend. But
Summer House is weird too, because it's like, even if they're full time, sometimes cast members feel like friends up, like they'll be gone for 2 weeks in a row because they're just not.
They have a wedding. Yeah. It's wedding season, I mean, in the summer.
Gabby was gone for so long last season that I was like, is she on the show still?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Lindsay could come for some weekends and still be full time on Summer House. I do like the idea of her and Paige on Roni, like in theory.
Right. It's theory.
I think what I like have trouble with is imagining her hanging out with any of those women.
Well, that's why they should all be gone.
Well, that's
I'm saying build out. I'm not saying this specific. I would never want Lindsay and Paige to have to lower themselves to the pile of manure that we step around near Central Park to come on this godforsaken. For me, catching up on four episodes in a row, I was like Brendan Fraser when he came out of that fucking bomb shelter in Blast from the Past. I was like, what is this new world? And I don't know if I like it anymore. I finished. I got through it.
I'm
but
so
I don't,
proud of you.
I don't care about any of them except for Sai so much that I'm like, I strongly do not give a fuck about anyone. And Brynn is my trigger. Brynn is, and I talked about it from the start, from the jump of the season, when people are like, oh, I'll give her a chance, whatever, which is fine, difference of opinion. But now I'm like, do you all see what I see?
It's nightmarish.
It's a nightmare before Christmas.
Yeah, there's
after
so much,
Christmas, well, before, during, and after Christmas.
I could see Paige fitting in terms of the fashion of it all, because a lot of them have strong fashion oriented personalities.
I could give a
but
fuck
also,
about that.
Well, sure. I'm just saying, like, would it make any sense at all? But she just seems so much younger than them also, even though they're like not that far apart. And, well, I guess she's in her 20s still.
No, she's 32. I know it specifically because I listened to the breakup episode of the Giggly Squad. I'm now a giggler.
She seems younger. But that's just kind of that, because it's because, like, as Andy calls them, you know, Andy calls, like, the kids shows of, like, it's like, these are...
Lindsay is quite literally 40 years old.
These are peers, like, but sure, yeah. But Lindsay, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I also, like, I don't know what to do about Roni. I don't know, like, it just feels like they're in too deep and they don't want to admit defeat already with another reboot. And I get that. Mm-hmm. But also, like, this is a disaster. This is like a really, and it's like, I really do like Raquel as a person, but I don't know.
Oh, I forgot about Raquel. I like Raquel. Sorry. I'm Raquel. Sorry.
That's the problem.
That was on me. That's on me.
No, but the problem is, like, you forget she's on the show.
But I really like her. I just want to say that.
No, I almost.
Who do you want to grab a beer with, a la Raquel, that old poll about presidents, and that's how you decide who you're going to vote for. I would want to vote for Sai and Raquel.
Yeah. For sure. I can't believe Sai is my MVP for the season after last season. I
couldn't
just
get,
like,
enough of her.
She's the only one who, like, knows how to be a housewife and also how to be a human. And I think that's such a, like, she seems like she plays well with others. She also knows when to lean into conflict. She has real personal storylines that mean something, like, and she knows she's in an ensemble. Like, everyone else, I have no idea what they're doing. It's really hard to watch.
I did a full Patreon episode that was, like, supposed to be about Craig and Paige and became a two-parter, because every time I was supposed to talk about Craig and Paige, I was like, but let's just circle back one more time to Real Housewives of New York, because I was just coming out of that space. And I have such fury for how this happened. I started thinking to myself, and I actually don't remember, I was walking yesterday, good for me, and I started thinking to myself, as most people do on their walks, about Housewives, and specifically the absolute toxic waste dump that is this current iteration of Real Housewives of New York, which is going to stay with us much like Chernobyl for generations. It's going to impact our kids and our kids' kids,
it's
my Nespresso machine, the future pods, the pods of future pods, all the different flavors that haven't even been created yet are going to be negatively impacted by how fucking bad this is. But then I started thinking to myself, if you have a challenge, and it is, I was literally thinking about this over and over. You can see in my eyes. I'm so direct. I'm so real. I was thinking to myself, if you had a good cast but bad production, what's worse for the quality of a show or the quality of a season? Bad cast and good production, or good cast and bad production? Noting, when it comes specific to this shit show,
both
are bad.
Both, yeah.
But I'm not giving you that option. I wasn't giving myself. These are the philosophical, spiritual conversations that I think are incredibly important for us as a community.
Well, I think a good cast with bad production is always going to be better, because I think that, like, even if I feel like there have been seasons of Housewives where it's like, I like them all, but something's not gelling, and it's like, they're leaving out things we want to see, or relegating them to, like, little flashbacks, or they're including scenes we don't want to see. Like, the arcs aren't well-defined. Like, those are all production problems. Mm-hmm. But I would still rather watch that over a show where, like, I don't know, like Dubai, where I'm like, I don't connect to any of these people. I don't think this cast works at all. I feel like there are serious cast problems here. Hmm. Like, I think that that is, I don't know. Because Dubai was like overproduced, but like, I think casting was also a problem because they were all just like, I don't know. I don't want to go into the, that's a, we don't have to open that Dubai can of worms. But I just like, for me, I think production plays a larger role than we often realize in our enjoyment of a season. But I still would rather take a good cast over good production if we had to choose between one or the other.
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. I also get confused in my own head when we're criticizing behind the scenes, the difference, and maybe it's just franchise specific, moment specific, whose responsibility is it ultimately for some of these like day-to-day versus long-term decisions? Is it the production company itself, the individual producers, the executive producer, whoever's like show running, or the network? Like what happened in the DNA of the Real Housewives of New York that I assume, and this could be completely wrong, somebody thought this season was okay. Or maybe they just thought it was like fixable, or they weren't thinking. Like, who do I blame the most?
We know that Andy watches episodes in advance and gives feedback on the episodes. Like, mm-hmm. We know that he does that. So,
I don't blame Andy for this.
Well, no, but here's my question. Like, we also know that he was rightfully disgusted by the prank episode. So like,
oh, was he?
Yeah. On Watch Happens Live was like, I didn't like that.
Okay.
I didn't like how did that get that far? How did like, because that was a stupid storyline regardless, but it was production's choice to play it as it was an actual plot line.
And to encourage the cast to continue it, I assume.
And to include it in the trailer for the season. Like, who made those choices? Like, that was such... Because if you had done that plot line, as stupid as it is, of, like, have the full lunch and have them conspiring of, like, let's create a rumor and see who spreads it, none of which made any sense because it was horrible and Aaron is the worst.
Aaron's the worst coming out of that?
They're all the worst.
Okay.
They're all the worst.
Rin.
They're all the worst.
I'm not being justice for Aaron, I don't know, in that particular
storyline of her like telling some people different things, then acting like she, I don't know.
Are you in on it? Well, no, she wasn't in on it.
Well, I told her it was not real, but also.
I hate them all so much.
It was rough.
Except for Sai, and also shout out Raquel.
But
I hate them so much.
Like, I think that would have been less terrible if we had known it was a prank. To begin with, it would have been still a bad storyline.
Oh,
but the production chose to make it seem like it was a real thing that was happening.
Right.
That was an editing choice.
They had the full lunch.
And then it was an editing choice to put it in the trailer.
I like that you were like, that was an editing choice. That was an editing choice. Like, I received it correctly. That was an editing choice. Why stop being pro-choice? If that's the takeaway that we're getting from this season of New York, don't be pro-choice. Okay?
Is that the takeaway?
I did find the conversations about abortion and sexual assault to be incredibly meaningful.
I agree.
And I would never take that away from anyone in the ways that our government is going to be taking away my body from myself. But I thought that was really meaningful. And just seeing Aaron, we're not going to get into it, but like just seeing Aaron's father and seeing that he obviously was not, you could see in his face that like, obviously he was going through some things. Like,
yeah.
But just the way that they connected with each other, hearing Aaron talk and connecting with her mom, even like the sort of very complicated, nuanced thing of Aaron saying, like, would you have supported me in this decision? And him being like, I think probably, or what, however he phrased it.
He wasn't like thrilled.
He wasn't thrilled. But then at the end of the, at very, very end of the conversation, for him to say like, oh, but also I was with someone who also had an abortion. That was really fascinating to me to hear him kind of try to figure out whether or not he would have supported her. Meanwhile, you were in a dynamic where the decision was made, you know, like it was complicated, and I really respected the hell out of Aaron and Jenna for having that kind of conversation, and Bryn for having a very, very complicated conversation and how being a survivor of sexual assault has impacted her life in very, very profound ways. So I'm not like in any way discounting that, but I hate this season so much.
Well, there's like, there are those odd moments of nuance, and especially in their personal storylines, where you're like, there's almost something here in terms of your ability to be vulnerable and to share things that are meaningful. I think also of Raquel's storyline with her mom.
Oh my God, of course. Yes.
Because what I found so interesting is like, I think it's a really like not often talked about thing in the queer community of like, you can have a parent who like outwardly supports queer people who like, it's like, I love you, I support your partner, whatever it is, like as her mom seems to do. But there's something shifted. There's something off about it, because on whatever level, whether consciously or not, they don't fully support, or they have a problem with this. And I think like, we don't usually get to see that kind of storyline. So I thought it was like, I found that to be really interesting and moving to have her kind of connect with her mom that way. And also this subtext of like, her, you know, her mom's being really chill now with the cameras, but like, what is she, how does she really feel? And like, how is Raquel taking all of this? Like, I like all of that, but yeah, as a show, it doesn't work at all. I mean, these women don't, they aren't really friends. They don't, I don't care about most of them. And I feel like it's just, it's bizarre that it got this far. It's bizarre that like, this is also a season where like, not an editing choice, but a production choice to not apparently intervene mid-season and say like, we need a show. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I like, because we know that happens on shows.
Can you sit down with production and the cast and be like, well, hey, we just wanted to talk about the fact that we think we should probably start to film a show.
Speaking of editing choices, like their decision to break the fourth wall as often as they do, I think has been really damaging to the show. Like, it's, I feel two ways about this, with this, the scene of Bryn telling Rebecca how to fight with her.
Oh, in because, the Hamptons?
Was yeah, they were in the Hamptons. Because it's like, on the one hand, like, I was fascinated by that, and it helped with the Bryn villain edit of the season, which, like, I mean, I don't think she needs much help there, but it helped kind of see what Bryn was trying to do and overproducing and all of that, which, mm-hmm. like, that was kind of her fight with Uba was about that. It's like, overproducing the other women. Like, this is sort of, like, what she does. But then their major fight in the back half of the season is like Bryn versus Rebecca. And I'm like, do I believe any of this? Because I know that like a while back you coached her on how to fight with you. So like, is this coming from a real place at all? Or are you just, the show planted the seed of like Bryn like produces fights and told Rebecca specifically how to fight with her. So now they're fighting. I'm supposed to care about that. Like, I already don't believe it.
I don't know. I don't think Rebecca does herself any favors.
No. I mean, I'm just saying, like, Rebecca probably said that thing about, like, once you have kids, because she was coached by Bryn on how to pick at her and start a fight.
Well, I mean, it was obviously a terrible decision, but the thing that I was very confused by was like, there was like either a confessional conversation where Rebecca's like, yeah, I knew what she was going
through. And then she said she didn't know it.
And that's why I said it. And then it cuts to like her being like, I didn't know. And I'm thinking like, this is so dumb.
It's crazy.
I hate them
again,
so much.
I'm not taking anything away from how awful Rebecca is, but like, that is bad editing. That is bad. Like, why is no one interviewing her, calling her on this and saying like, did you know or did you not know? Like,
if I could have an off the record conversation, it would be with someone who was like on the ground, short term, but also long term in production for this specific season. You know what? I actually just remembered. I was in the Apple store. Was it New York? I was in the Apple store and talking to someone, shout out Apple team member who's wonderful. We were talking about, you know, reality TV as one does. And she was like, oh, I have a friend who worked on, I think it was production of this current season of New York. And I, not having any kind of filter, was like, oh, yeah, it's a terrible season. I was like,
you feel like they fucked up. So.
I mean, I was like, but just so you know, I'm like, this is a historically bad season. I'm not saying your friend is bad at their job. I just think the job site itself was like, everybody needs 18 more helmets. It's just like the actual danger here is profound. Yeah, I would love to just like go to drinks or have them over for an espresso. Maybe I'll take out the pumpkin spice, which I just got, just excellent if anybody's looking for a flavor. And just be like, hey, so who fucked this up the most?
Yeah.
And what happened to the people who are like, raise his hand, I don't think this is going great? Or was it just one of those situations where everyone, me or a lot of people, are acknowledging like, this isn't great, but it's, we have to figure out a way to make it work? Because if you're having, if you have the start, the first season received well, you're going into the second season.
Well, kind of received well.
Kind of received well.
I think it was like a mixed bag. I think it started off strong and it was like better than people had been fearing.
Agree.
And then by the end, I was pretty over it. I think a lot of people were pretty over it, just in terms of like, I think by the end, it was much clearer how little they all knew each other and how inorganic a lot of it felt. The big moments of conflict are about who said what on camera or not on camera. Like everything on this, they're so obsessed with their images and what is on camera that I feel like creates a lot of issues with the show overall, that they are way too produced and by themselves.
Right. But it's not like you're walking into the season of New Jersey or any season of Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Like,
or Potomac.
There was probably, or Potomac during its tough moments.
Yeah.
Like, you're walking in right now. You might have like, what do you do when you realize you just have to kind of like suck it up and figure it out, right? Because like, what could they do in the middle of this? Decisions were made. They have to figure out how to make it work. That has to be incredibly difficult.
I know, they seem completely incompetent, and I'm just like,
well, but if you're given,
no,
told to make an omelet and every egg you're given is expired or rancid and you still have to make an omelet, you're like, well, here's some parsley, here's some dill, salt and pepper.
I just keep thinking about editing things where I'm just like, why would you include that whole thing about Jenna's new car if we're going to find out later that it's...
Lewis, it's a trigger. Lewis, it's such a trigger for me. I can't even talk about it. Because then I'm like, wait, does she not have money? Not about the Bentley, but about the teeth. Like, I'm like very confused as to... And then the cast is super confused. Why was that a part of... Literally, I just sat up straight in my seat. Why was that a part of anything? Why was that literally a part of anything if they're just going to take it away?
Well, that's what I mean. It's like they don't know. It's like they include a scene of Brynn telling Rebecca how to fight, and then they later include a fight between them, and that doesn't work because now I'm like, is the fight real at all? They include a scene of Rebecca saying, I said that on purpose to be shady. And then a scene of her saying, I had no idea what she was going through. And no one is like, if you're going to include these contradictions, you have to have someone calling out the bullshit. You can't just have like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like as if they're editing it without knowing what happens the rest of the season. Like they keep like, it's like they edited it while it was happening. And like, it doesn't make any sense.
I think whomever created the update to Apple's photos also worked on the Real Housewives of New York. That's the crossover. That's what I should have asked at the Apple store. Who hurt us? And have we seen them outside of Bravo HQ?
Yeah.
Well, I know we've got a couple more things to say, so head on over to part two. Available now.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.